God cannot lie. God cannot lie. David, the great psalmist and prophet of God, once said in Psalm 116, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Have you ever thought of that? Well, I tell you, it's good to have somebody on your side that can't lie to you. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, they ain't going to lie to you to save face or to stay out of trouble or anything else. Now, sometimes we might get in the corner, like Rahab the harlot, told a lie to save the spies and send them off in peace. Like David, that scrabbled at the door and told a little lie to keep from Saul killing him. Or like the messengers that ran to warn David of Absalom's rebellion, and a woman got them and stuck them in the well and put a cover over it and put corn on it like it'd been there a long time, feeding the birds, and put them spies in the well and told them, hey, they went that way. And then she went to them and sent them the other way. Well, we may have to do that once in a while. We don't speak lies to our neighbors. And once in a while it may become something of a necessity. Like the Christians who hid from Hitler during World War II, hid up in somebody's attic. And someone had to tell the Gestapo there's nobody up there to save their lives. But you know, God don't have to do anything like that. And he's told us there's two immutable things in Hebrews 6 that God cannot lie. He's not going to lie. He's not going to change his word either. God's the same. There's an old song I like that goes along with this. God cannot lie. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Praise God. And that's why we can put our trust in the Lord. We can cling to his promises after we have resolutely determined to do what is our responsibility in obeying the Lord, then we can commit our trust in the Lord and we don't have to panic because we know God didn't lie to us. Praise God. The scripture in the psalm that said, once God has sworn to David, I'll not lie to my servant. Praise God. What I've told you, I'll do for you. And he will do it. Beginning in Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure or in a symbol. Here we find, of course, you can always go back to Abraham, and I like all the writings of the Apostle Paul, because he epitomizes Abraham as the progenitor of Jesus Christ, not only in the flesh, but especially in the work of the Spirit of God in bringing Christ to the world and giving us life and blessing through Christ. Now, the Apostle Peter, he eulogized David Moore. You remember that the great message he preached on the day of Pentecost recorded in Acts 2. He always went back to David. David. Christ is of the seed of David. In him the Lord hath raised from the dead. And said, David's dead. You call this man the son of David. But I tell you, Paul went back further than David. He went back to Abraham. He said, hey, he's the father of all of us. Well, Peter was symbolizing Jesus Christ or David as being the progenitor of Christ, as being king. But the Apostle Paul was using this symbol or the example of Abraham as being the progenitor of Jesus Christ, as being the father of the faithful, of bringing his genealogy up to the time of Christ and bringing a Savior into the world. He was always eulogizing Christ as being the greatest and Abraham as the father of Christ through faith. That through faith, Christ was the seed of Abraham. And it was also according to a promise that God made to Abraham, and that God could not lie. In the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews also, verse 13, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he received the promise. For men always swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that is to Abraham's seed, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope is an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, and entereth in that within the veil. Whither the forerunner, this is Abraham's seed, is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now I want you to turn to Romans, the fourth chapter, very quickly and briefly, if you'd like to follow through with this. Beginning in verse 18. Who against hope, Abraham, it is, believed in hope. Now see, the sixth chapter of Hebrews is very strong, writing about that hope that Abraham had. And that hope entered into the veil where Jesus is for you as well as for Abraham. He said, who against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God gave him this wonderful promise back in the 15th chapter of Genesis, and also in the 17th chapter, he reconfirmed it more in detail, even naming the seed of Abraham that would be his legator of the promise of blessing all nations through him. He said, in Isaac, your seed's going to be called. That's before the little boy was ever born. God gave him a name and told him, this is your seed. And through this young man that will be born, I'm going to bless all the nations in the world through his seed. And of course, that seed came down to Jesus Christ. But it was through Isaac. It was through Isaac. And God promised him a child. He said in the 17th chapter, he said, next year, that's of Genesis, he said, at this time next year, you're going to have a son. And says, your seed will be called in Isaac. In other words, your descendants of Isaac are going to be the descendants of promise, which are the true children of God. They're all going to come through Isaac's seed. Now, up until the time of Christ, there was a holy remnant that were the descendants of Isaac. But this all started out with a great miracle, a miracle of confirmation. And back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews again, shortly and briefly. Let's look at the text again. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, this is recorded in detail in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, the only one he had, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This all began in the 17th chapter of Genesis. And here in the 22nd chapter, with Isaac on the altar, with his hand raised, with bearing a knife with a sharp point and a blade to take the life of his only begotten son, and then with a wood under him to set it on fire and burn him as a sacrifice to the Lord, Abraham was obedient. And here was what was in his mind. God cannot lie to me. And here's what he said, being God cannot lie to me, I'm accounting that God is able to raise him even from the dead.